Hey everybody, it's John, and welcome back to another episode of Talk to Me in the Car, a podcast about all things teaching related and education inspired that I literally record to and from my job as a high school instructional coach here in Arlington, Virginia, which is just outside of Washington, D.C. Since traffic is bad, I got about 10 to 15 minutes just to sort of shoot the breeze, and I figure what a better time to do it than right here on a podcast with other educators all around the world. We talk shop, we brain dump, we brainstorm, and we connect on ideas that make us better. So today, for our episode, I have a question for you. Do you want to build a snowman? We're talking all about snow day stuffs and what good and what bad can come from those unexpected days where our schedule finds itself interrupted inexplicably because of Mother Nature's wrath. Or maybe Mother Nature's blessings or graces. We'll talk about that. Sometimes there's good fortune in bad weather. So we can talk about that all day today. These podcasts are about 10 or 11 minutes in length, depending on as much traffic as I can slog through safely. But I would love to join in the conversation further with you on Twitter. So feel free to shoot at me on Twitter. I'm at mehanedu. And I'm happy to have conversations about this or about anything else education related. So feel free to message me on the Twitter machine. But as for today, let's talk about snow, the goods and bads of it, and what that looks like for our time as classroom instructors. A bit about me. I teach high school at a suburban private Catholic school in Arlington, Virginia. So my population that I serve may be slightly different than yours. And I think that's important that we keep that in mind before we talk about what snow day plans look like. First and foremost, as a high school teacher, I can presume a certain level of tech fluency for pretty much every one of my students. Likewise, as a teacher at a private school in an affluent area that's suburban in Arlington, Virginia, I can be reasonably assured that most of my students have access at home to technology that's one-to-one or internet-ready. If you don't have those benefits available to you, certainly that will change the nature of what your at-home stuffs can look like. Likewise with older students who are on level versus those who might be reading behind level. Or if you're dealing with students who are in advanced placement classes or if you're in classes that have a standardized test, certainly that will play some consideration moments into your planning process as well. For me, it's American literature in high school, so I can pretty much do what I need to when I need to. There's no standardized test. We're in Virginia. There's no state standard test that we have to pass in the private Catholic schools. But we do have a lot of stuff to cover. My class is an American literature survey of about 400 years of content, starting with the Puritans, working our way all the way through the 1900s, 1950s or so. It can be a lot. You know, we move at a pretty healthy clip of about, 15 to 20 years worth of content covered in an average week. I know that is totally not sustainable, and that could be a conversation on a different podcast. But for me, at least for the time being, because I don't write the curriculum, I just sort of try to deliver it as best as I can. When we get snow, it's tough because you can fall behind really, really quickly, and suddenly it's a challenge to catch up that momentum as you kind of walk away from it. I think in the original book, Teach Like a Pirate, Dave Burgess writes, you know, I'm not too concerned about getting the class's attention. I can do that pretty quickly, you know, with a sleight of hand or with a magic trick. Short of, you know, standing on a desk and shouting, you can pretty much get the kids' attention in a bunch of different ways in the classroom. But what he says that he's most concerned about is the momentum, gaining or losing the momentum of a class, particularly sustaining it. If a class is riding high and doing really, really well, it really can be a challenge to lose 2 or 3 or 4 days at a clip, maybe then into a weekend where they have to just do the hard reset when they get back the following Monday or Tuesday due to snow. Likewise, if things are going slow or kind of just dragging along, it's all that much more frustrating to not be able to get through those moments of your curriculum that are a challenge where you're like, hey, this is a 2 to 3 unit, just bear with us, we'll stick through it, we're almost there. And then suddenly that 2 to 3 days blows into 4 or 5 or 6 days or maybe even 2 weeks as Mother Nature has other plans for your schedules. So what can we do to affect change in those media? Certainly there are some tech-related twists or tricks around it, so I guess I'll look at it from two sides. For one, if you are in the we have so much content to cover, oh my gosh, we have to get through it mindset, 3 or 4 things that can alleviate that for you have helped me out with my classes. And I've erred on both sides, and I've certainly learned the mistakes and the benefits of each of them. The first is if you do the tech route, something like Voxer is awesome. If you've never used Voxer, it is a two-way walkie-talkie app that you can install on any smartphone, or I guess most computers. Totally free. There's a freemium model you can upgrade, but your students can download it as well, and then you can send out the day's memo as a voice thread or a voice conversation, and they can message you back one-on-one. So you can check in with up to 100, 200 kids pretty quickly and say, hey, Billy, where are we at for tonight's homework? Explain your favorite part of the book. Or, hey, Janie, what did you think about chapter two? What struck your, fancy? Or what are your understanding about this concept or idea? And have students put their voice, their money where their mouth is, or their mouth where their money is, right? Where they can talk about what they are learning, even though they're not in school, so they don't lose that time. You can likewise take a Voxer thread and open it up to an entire group of students or an entire class. So you start up a voice chat where everyone can listen at their own pace and time as they have things to do over the day. And then like Netflix, they come back in, they binge listen and binge watch, and they can listen to everything all at once. So that can be really helpful. So Voxer's a great alternative. It's totally free. Helps stay on track in your classrooms. And it's just V-O-X-E-R. You can check it out online or download the app. So that's one. Another one that works really similar, if you are not into the voice recording but you would like to have conversation, check out Flipgrid.com. Flipgrid is also an app, totally free. And it was purchased by Microsoft in the summer of 2017. So it's totally free for all educators in their classes. You create a password-protected grid that's private to members of your group. And then they respond as if it was a chat thread, but they can do it as video, which is super cool. So you can like have a safe space for students to interact with one another from the comfort of their own homes, just talking about your course content or any prompt question you can leave up there. If you wanted to correlate length and strength, like, hey, I need to see at least a 2-minute video from everybody posted by the end of the day, and that's great. Or everyone should post original source video of X minutes, and then everyone should watch X number or Y number of classmates' videos and make Z number of posts as video responses to it. It's not a perfect way to replicate the classroom experience, but it does give that sense of personal touch because the faces are involved with it. Certainly there are challenges that can present if kids don't feel comfortable having their faces on video, but something as easy as a sock puppet or just like a talking avatar, they're welcome to put up any visual they wanted to and have that serve as their digital self while they just get in the habit of talking through what they're learning. Something very metacognitive. I think that's a fantastic idea. And for snow days, it's really low impact. I do a bit of that in my own classes. Not overwhelming students, but even over the Christmas break, hey, as you're doing your reading of your choice book, just let me know what you're thinking of it. Push up a flip grid of 2 to 3 minutes over the course of the 2 weeks off. That could be a really helpful way in too. A third tech trick that I like is Twitter. If your school does not allow Twitter, you certainly can use message boards and discussion threads on your school's learning management software. But I love Twitter because it can turn pretty much anything into an open chat room. Just pick a hashtag and have your students create school-specific accounts. That way they're not getting their personal stuff up with your school-related stuffs. And you're helping to teach them things like digital media literacy, digital branding, being aware of their digital footprint while they're presenting themselves in the publicly searchable space with hashtags. And you can talk about anything. Like, let's say, American literature or American history, U.S. government, right? Pick up a hashtag for yourself and just say, hey, AP U.S. history, hashtag APUSH. That's already a national hashtag that people are using all over the place. Have your students join in on the conversation about APUSH and just see what they have to say as they're doing their reading and research over the course of a day or two. Maybe they can push up X number of tweets about a certain topic in a certain timeline. That's a really helpful way to, make their thinking come to life in a documented way that other people can join in the conversation. You can even create your own hashtag for your class. Let's say you're a, 7th grade science class and you're Miss Jones. You can put hashtag JonesPsi7, right? That's a weird series of letters and numbers that no one else would think to tweet out. And suddenly all your 7th graders are taking part in a hashtag JonesPsi7 conversation over the course of 2 or 3 days away from school. So maybe they're posting screenshots of their book or short links to things that they're finding online that are relevant to what they're reading, or pictures of their own texts with annotations or their own homework, doing the same things they would do in their own private threaded messages in group chats. Now you're just pushing it out in the public forum and really encouraging everyone to take a look at your learning and say, hey, this is what I've got out of it. What did you get out of it? So it turns what would have been a solitary activity into a social one, helping us learn from one another and document our findings as we go. And again, just treating it as it's a work in progress, right? It's just a chance to know that you're not going alone as you're taking part in these academic endeavors. So that's an idea too. I guess the fourth, which is actually the second. I'll explain why it's the second. But the fourth option, which is the second option, because maybe the first option is to do homework. The second option is to not do homework. And I guess that fourth option takes me back to this idea of, hey, if it's a snow day, it's a day off. What is the harm in giving your kids just a whole day to do nothing? Imagine if that sounds scary to you. What if your principal was to send you any of the things we've just listed and ask you as a requirement of your job to do them when you're at home taking care of your kids or your house or just enjoying your day away from school? Is there a value in just saying, you know what? Yeah, we are losing momentum, but sometimes a day away is a day away. And maybe we're getting too precious about this idea of, but there's the content, the pacing guides. The work will be there when we get back. I'm not saying that either of any of these things are right or wrong, but there's certain things to keep in mind. Maybe if we gave ourselves a break, we could be that much more focused and intentional when we came back from the snow. Anyway, food for thought. Would love to hear your thoughts as well. Feel free to message me back. I'm at @mehanedu on Twitter. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll be back next week with another episode. Have a good one.